Yeah.
Yeah.
Still use it. That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Did you hear the good news? I'm sitting on your
Fitbox.
Oh,
no.
On race day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whose idea was that?
Claire.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Man.
Yeah.
So,
good.
So I got a
you better be awake and alert.
I'm learning.
Off
I'm learning.
Your phone.
Yeah, I'll try. Can you tell me the difference between you, AJ, and Jimmy Johnson, the three guys in this race who have raced both the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500? What are the differences between the two races?
The car. Yeah, I think the car. But I don't know. Both atmospheres are really good, for sure. I don't know. It's they're still like very different, but I don't know. I don't really know. Like I can't really. It's hard to answer that because they're both like, you know, peak of the sport. So it's hard to like. They just have their differences. You know, like the infield at Indy has the snake pit, but the infield here has all the campers, and that's really cool. You know. Driver intros, sort of similar, but the crowd feels closer to you at Indy, at least the grandstand crowd. The front stretch at Indy is just swarmed with people, so that's really cool. But then pit road is also similar to that here, but it's more race fans. I don't know. I feel like maybe Indy just has like a little bit more of the kind of like history feel to it than the 500, Daytona 500, but other than that, I mean, they're both great. Like, the atmospheres at both of them are great.
You were the rookie at Indy last year. Elio's the rookie at the Daytona 500 this year. Doesn't have the week of practice like you did. Like, what's going to be the biggest challenges for him?
I really don't think he's going to find it that challenging. Just because, like, Daytona's Daytona. It's not hard to make a lap at Daytona. And then when you're in the draft, you're kind of just stuck in the draft. Like you're not making moves and you know, getting your way to the front. So it turns in to a lot of strategy, which I think he's very used to in the IndyCar stuff, you know, of saving fuel and trying to manage that side of your race. I think the challenging part potentially is just probably the, you know, weaker brakes. You know, you don't slow down as good as you would an IndyCar for like a green flag pit cycle. So, you know, maximizing time for the green flag ins and outs, that's where it's going to be probably a challenge. You know, to an Indy, like it's so narrow that like y'all just follow each other. Here it's like you're trying to pass people under braking and stuff. So that's probably where he'll get a little bit, maybe be overwhelming at times, but he'll get the hang of it and all that. So, yeah, it's not a big deal. He's going to be fine.
You alluded to this a little bit, but what does the Daytona 500 mean to you? You've been close a couple times to winning this race. What does this race mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's a big, big race, and everybody in here wants to win the big one. So I think this is like the last of the big ones that I have left, so I think that adds a little bit more, you know, to it. But yeah, I'm not sure. Just get your season started too, so it's a lot of fun.
One of the most successful winters maybe that you've ever had, the Gator Evolution Chili Bowl win down in Australia 5 minutes up. You've always been one to race as much as you can. What is it about that you feel is an advantage or maybe helps you stay sharpest coming into
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've done it both ways. You know, the last couple of years, I haven't done much dirt racing the off season. A couple years ago, I didn't do any really besides Turkey Night, I think, and then Votto, I guess. But and then I've had years where I race a lot, even more than I ran this time. And I don't know. I mean, I think it keeps me sharp for sure, but it doesn't. It's not a big deal one way or the other for me. It's just. I just like to race, and I like to kind of stay in the rhythm of racing. Obviously, I wish the off season was still longer, so I could squeeze in some other racing, but also more time, you know, not at the racetrack. But yeah, it's fun, and I feel like, you know, I'm just continuing to try to better my abilities. Yeah, I mean, it was. I've never gone to Volusia and qualified well. We've raced decently, but you can't win from, you know, the seventh or eighth row. So, yeah, it was more fun to qualify good, and giving ourselves opportunity to win. So, yeah, it was a fun week there, the best we've obviously ever had at Volusia. And, yeah, hopefully it can carry over to this week.
Kyle, does not having won a Daytona mean the same thing to you it does for other drivers? Like, you know, so Dale Earnhardt is
actually example. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I don't really know how it feels to them. I would imagine Tony Stewart or, you know, Kyle Busch is still racing, but I imagine Tony Stewart, who doesn't have it, doesn't lose sleep. You know, I think when you look at the style of racing, especially nowadays, and kind of, you know, how it's difficult to win because you do have to have a lot of good fortune, where there's a lot out of your control. I think that helps you sleep at night if you don't win. But you know, so I don't think it does anything to Tony's legacy, whether he's won the Daytona 500 or not. He's in every Hall of Fame that he's deserving of being in. So I don't think it does anything to his career. Obviously, he would love to have it, and that's probably the same as me. Like, I'm not going to lose sleep if I don't ever win this race, but I still want to win the race and have that, you know, that ring and that trophy and be a part of the names that have won it. But again, I think there's a lot more that goes into winning and a lot of luck. So it's not a big deal. I mean, cause it just kind of is what it is. You know, it's going to be on the schedule every year and you know, we all show up with the same opportunity to win. So, no, I mean, it's not frustrating. I think obviously all of us drivers would want to be able to like make our own moves and, you know, get to the front or there not be a wreck with 25 cars in it. But it's just also the style of racing. So, like I said, it kind of is what it is, and we all understand that when we come to places like Daytona or Talladega.
Kyle Busch, he said that he believed it was about an 80-20 ratio of luck to skill winning in Daytona. Now, if you want to take that stance, both Kyle Busch and yourself, considering some of the best pure wheelmen in NASCAR, you're often regarded as such, one might take the fact that neither of you won the Daytona 500 as being possibly a support for that. How do you feel about that outlook?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's easy to agree with that because I haven't won. But then I think if you go talk to the guys who consistently run up front at these, they would probably have a different opinion. So I don't know. But yeah, I think there's a lot of strategy that goes into these races now in the next gen era that I do enjoy. You know, of the fuel savings and the green flag pit stops and working together with your teammates and others, and I enjoy that, and I do think, you know, like I said, there's a group of drivers that are always up front, you know, at the ends of these races. So, you know, there is skill for sure, whether that's the driver or it's just the team, or manufacturer as a whole. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's definitely a response to that. For sure, to protect them, but I don't really think you're ever going to see it come into play in that same exact scenario. I think it's definitely going to come into play more for when drivers get suspended for, you know, making a mistake, and not a mistake, but intentionally wrecking somebody or something like that. That's where you're going to see the rule come into place. So, and I'm sure they thought about that as well, and maybe that's what they wanted, you know, to have to keep drivers from doing right hooking somebody. So, but yeah, I don't think you're going to see that scenario kind of come into play as what happened last year.
How do you just feel about the change of it's more back to being a metal waiver than anything else?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's whatever. Try not to run into any of those issues.
Harder to work your way through the field with as big of a hole that this car punches through the air. Do you see that the same way? Is there an emphasis that you guys are putting on qualifying with that in mind?
I don't know. I mean, I think I don't necessarily think that it's that important. It's always important to qualify good, so I'm not saying it's not important, but I don't think it's... I think it's way more important at a short track to qualify good or an intermediate to qualify good. I think when you come here, sure, you qualify bad, you know, you sacrifice some stage one points, but you save enough fuel and then you cycle your way to the front to start, you know, the next stage or whatever the case may be. You kind of just chip your way at it or chunk. You can get big chunks, you know, if you're saving fuel and executing your green flag stops. And then, yeah, you're in position at the end of the... You're probably in position. I've seen the Toyota guys do it. They never qualify good. They're always in contention in the second stage. So, yeah, I don't think it's that important.
It's not like you've been out of the seat in the off season, but is it kind of a good to get back in the seat of a cup car?
Yeah, it is. It's just good to be back into, like, the normal routine or what I feel like is the normal routine of racing season and, you know, getting to your scheduled Monday meetings and Thursday meetings and like, you know, I know I'm flying out on this day and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, being around my teammates, like that's all the stuff that I kind of, you know, you miss in the off season, even though I'm racing, like I still just miss the routine of all that. So, yeah, glad to be back going again with all that. And, yeah, just look forward to hopefully another successful season.
How do you describe the racing now to race fans on a track like that when it's unlike Charlotte, unlike Texas, unlike anything else we've done on a 1.5 mile?
Yeah, it's definitely its own unique style, you know, different even than Daytona or Talladega. So, yeah, it's just really, like, high intensity, you know, and it's just like a hybrid of in a way, of Daytona and Talladega as well as, you know, maybe an intermediate-style track. So... yeah, it's intense for sure. It's unique, and you know, your heart rate gets up.
What makes it intense when you say it's intense?
It's just, I mean, you're drafting, you're on top of each other, you feel like you're on edge. The lap happens really quick. There's some bumps, and like you just, it's just really edgy. So, yeah, I think that's what makes it feel intense.
This is the first time since '96 there hasn't been a major NASCAR event in Southern California. How important is it to be in California, Southern California, the number two market, and how can you get back?
Yeah. Well, yes, I do think it's very important that you get out to the, you know, that region. I think there's some of the best race fans, you know, and very passionate race fans, in Southern California and on the West Coast in general. So yeah, and then as far as how you get back. I don't know. Irwindale just shut down. You know, we don't go to the Coliseum anymore. They say that Fontana's still going to convert, but I don't believe that. So I don't know, but I would love to. I don't know what other tracks are out there, but I would love for us to get back out to Southern California.
That's a good point, Kyle. With Island Racing, you're bringing it to Southern California, Northern California. You know it's like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wish we could race in every state, but we can't. So, yeah. I mean, times change, but you know. So, I don't know. I don't run the schedule. I don't run the sport. So, you know, I'm sure they're. It's not like NASCAR's forgotten about Southern California. I'm sure they're trying to figure out ways to get back there. So, yeah. I think hopefully in the future we can get back to Southern California. Where I settle on that, well, I love that it has moved around, you know, from, I love that we're not here racing the Clash, and I love that we've taken the, you know, built a track, the Coliseum, that was awesome, in a market that, you know, didn't know what NASCAR might have been. I also love going to Bowman Gray and getting back to the, you know, the roots of our sport. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you could take the LA, you know, sort of idea and move around to different, you know, markets and stuff. Or, you know, I feel like it'd be cool if you can, you know, revive some other grassroots style tracks that are, you know, close to the roots of NASCAR. So I think they've done a really great job with the Clash over the last, you know, 4 years or so.
So Denny Hamlin was talking about irrational confidence because I asked him about Chris Gayheart not being his crew chief anymore. I said, surely you're high gun control and, you know, podcast and blah, blah. Certainly you don't need the confidence when your crew chief goes and becomes, you know, the head guy that you, there's your crew chief's not there. He said, we all drivers have irrational confidence, thinking that you can make a move and then making it. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't be able to do it. Do you understand what he's saying? Like, we think of you guys as having a ton of confidence all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, have you always been the kind that, you know, little things like a change in a crew chief, you know, losing something on track doesn't not affect your confidence? I mean, you're Kyle Larson.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it, yeah, it always, your confidence is, yeah, you're always, your confidence is always affected, whether good results, bad results, changes in teams or personnel or just the uncertainty, I think, on that side of things, you know. He probably, Chris Gayheart is a phenomenal leader. So when you lose a guy like that, I can see, like if, I view it as like if Cliff was to tomorrow, you know, leave his role, for sure I would be devastated and very worried about my, you know, future. But you kind of have to get back after it and also use it as motivation probably. So I think, yeah, I think Denny is going to have a great year still. You know, JGR's got awesome stuff. And, yeah, maybe Gayheart in his new role is going to be able to touch on the team organization as a group and make it overall better than it already was. So, yeah, change is change, but there's always uncertainty until you get racing.
Is it more than the decisions on the track for a really talented crew chief? Is it more like you've learned to lean on him and you're just so used to him that it makes you confident just because you don't have to try to figure out things or worry about stuff, and that's the hard part? If you were to go through what he's going through, Denny?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you just, I don't know what Denny thinks, but like I said, so I can only try and put myself in his shoes, and I feel like Gayheart and Cliff are very similar people, very similar leaders, very similar crew chiefs, and how, you know, they, especially like how Gayheart leads Denny or led Denny, and how Cliff leads me. So yeah, if I was to lose that, yeah, it would be super awkward at first, and I'm sure it was just, you know, out of nowhere probably to him as well. So, yeah, it's but, you know, he's still got a great team, and he was super fast at Clash, so he's going to be just fine.
What about your confidence on super speedways? Because the results might not indicate it, but it seems like you're in the mix more frequently than before.
Yeah, yeah, no, I do feel pretty confident when we come to these races. I feel like we have a great feel for the race and kind of how it works out and the strategy, and I do feel like, you know, we're up front quite often at the end of them. You know, we've not made it through some of the wrecks, or I've made a bad move and got shuffled back, you know, real late, stuff like that. Or, you know, Talladega, we missed the wreck finally and you know, finished third or fourth. So I feel like we have a good understanding of these races and just got to keep doing what we've been doing, and hopefully things will just work out.
What do you think's made Denny so successful here? You joke, I've raced her 40 times, won 3, so it isn't like that greater percentage, but 3 still 3.
Well, yeah, it's, yeah, 3 Daytona 500s too, so pick the good ones. But he's just a very calculated racer, and I feel like, you know, there's takes less of that now with the style of racing. So I think like his ability doesn't shine maybe quite as much as it used to, but yeah, he's just a super smart racer, and he stays calm. I feel like it's not hard for him to stay focused.
Was Jeff Gordon kind of a pioneer because of the dirt track kind of background? Are you aware, or do you respect?
Oh yeah.
yeah, what's been his impact?
Is, well, I mean, as far as like, yeah, as being a pioneer, like, I mean, he was the first real dirt racer, I feel like, young, to make it to NASCAR. So yeah, he definitely paved the way for guys like myself, especially coming from Northern California. Like, my career path really modeled his, you know, from moving from Northern California to Indiana, doing some USAC stuff, and then coming to Charlotte. Like, he kind of showed you the way to do it. So a lot of people still try to do it that way. So yeah, it was very thankful for that, you know, even from a long time ago. And now that he's my boss, it's really cool.
Awesome. Thank you. Indy 500 question. You have Halo Castroneves. Mm-hmm. Where to share Indy 500s. Knowing how difficult it is to run that race and win that race, what type of respect do you have for Halo Castroneves?
Tons of respect for Elio. You know, he's won that race, what, 4 times, I believe. So that's pretty amazing to put yourself in contention to win 4, and he's probably been close to winning a lot of others. So, yeah, it's and he's just a huge personality. You know, he's just a really big name. So to have him here racing the Daytona 500 in a totally different car and series, it's pretty awesome. So I hope he does well. I know he will do well. It's not really, I don't think it's gonna be too challenging for him. It's not a big deal racing around here, and the strategy is very similar to Indy 500. So he'll be just fine.
You said when you won the Chili Bowl for the first time, this is bigger than the Daytona 500 you've won ever more since then. You just got your first big Gator, which congratulations on. I'm curious, running as much dirt and as many marquee dirt races as you do, what's the approach like for the 500 compared to these other big marquee races that you won?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are all shorter races, so that's a lot different. But I don't know. Your mindset is similar probably in all of them, and I feel like as I've gained more experience in racing and in a lot of races and winning other big races, your nerves aren't very high anymore, and you're pretty focused throughout the whole time. So, yeah, it's I think just age and experience helps more than anything.
So the Xfinity fastest lap could potentially alter super speedway and road course races if guys are using fresh tires. So what are your thoughts about how that could impact the bonus points?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
They're doing like big hit for fresher tires and someone else on the road course.
I've got no clue.
Okay, well, I have another question.
Is that we get an extra point now for fastest lap?
Yeah, fastest lap in the race is a bonus point, one extra bonus point.
Had no idea.
Really? Okay.
No.
That's why I was like, okay.
I literally had no idea. I don't care. Whatever.
All right. And then you guys are drivers. You're not afraid to speak. What is something that you're afraid of?
My wife.
Have fun yet?
Yeah.
You know, some change in Bella since he started racing dirt again?
I don't know. He's like giddy. It's weird. He's like a child. But I'm glad to have him back.
He's like a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's weird. For sure.
Can I ask you a question real quick about the changes to shortening the course?
How it's going to affect it, I don't know. I think it's going to be, I'm not really sure. I'm not like a road racer, so I don't really know how it's going to affect it. I think you definitely lose one passing zone. I'm not sure if you gain any with this new section. I haven't seen it, so, or at least at ground level, you know, I haven't seen it. And then you're probably losing a heavy braking zone into whatever that is, 12 also. So, but, you know, you get to go through turn one more often. You get to stuff like that. So I think you do gain some. But I don't know. I think it's better for the crowd. You know, they get to see us more. So that's important. Mm-hmm.
Nothing. One more question.
Yes.
One more question.
Yeah.
Well, since everybody's gone, season opener at Las Vegas, what can, you know, are you looking forward to taking high limits there and, you know, increasing the level of cup drivers that might be interested in joining?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard of any cup guys running, but regardless, I think, you know, ticket sales sound like they're really good, and, you know, I think there's going to be a big field of cars, too, which I'm pumped about, because I wasn't sure how that would be, but I think a lot of California teams, West Coast teams are coming, even some teams from Midwest, so, yeah, should be really good, yeah, hopefully the track prep is nice and we can just put on some good racing for, you know, dirt fans, and hopefully there's some NASCAR fans that come over as well. Yeah, I mean, he'll be fast. If he's in the 69K, yeah, he'll be really fast. He should win a lot of races in that thing. That car is really, really fast.